When war broke out in Bosnia, the United States and other international donors did not hesitate to send food and medicine. Such assistance is usually both uncontroversial and effective. Relief groups, led by the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, or UNHCR, kept Sarajevo alive under siege and stopped a deadly cholera epidemic racing through Rwandan refugee camps. Aid organizations generally get high marks for their quick response to emergencies. But as Ann Cooper reports in Part 3 of our series on refugees, relief does not solve the most vexing problem confronting the UNHCR, how to get refugees back home.
Western politicians often curse the United Nations, but they love UNHCR. It's a symbol of compassion in a world full of conflict. The UN Refugee Agency is so popular that it's expanded its mandate, taking on millions of people who technically are not refugees because they've fled their homes but not their homelands. In fact, UNHCR's much-acclaimed airlift into Sarajevo fed victims of the Bosnian War who never left home at all. The Western donors who support the agency did not complain.
UNHCR's presence in Bosnia was very useful for the Security Council because it gave them an excuse for not intervening militarily.
Writer Ian Guest, a longtime observer of UNHCR operations, says Bosnia is only the most recent example of how Western governments exploit the refugee agency.
It's become the first agency that the international community turns to when a crisis erupts.
The crises are piling up, though, and so is UNHCR's caseload. In 1990, it cared for 17 million people. Today, 27 million. During that same period, several million refugees did go home, many of them after huge, expensive UN peacekeeping missions in places like Cambodia and Mozambique. Big international missions don't guarantee a refugee return, though, as UNHCR learned after international troops entered Bosnia to enforce last year's peace accord.
So look into my eyes. Now look into my eyes. Do I really look like a mean person? Not trying to fight?
UNHCR field officer Alessandra Morelli is trying to explain shutdown procedures for the Kuplensko refugee camp in Croatia. 24,000 Bosnian Muslims shivered through last winter's snows here, sheltered only by tents with wooden stoves. Not everyone wants to leave this wretched place, though. Although they are Muslims, the residents of this camp fought against the Bosnian Muslim army. So back home, they're considered traitors, and they're afraid to return because no one can guarantee their safety.
Gentlemen like you in writing to guarantee him that no legal trial is going to be held against him in the area of Western Bosnia. And
that's not my mandate. I'm not a judge.
I
understand. You are asking for things that it's not.
One man hints that if Morelli tries to make him go back, he'll blow up her car.
Now, there are two ways in life. Listen, my friend. There are two ways in life where you want to, if you want a result, to obtain it. When somebody says no, you point a gun in front of him, you kill him, you start a war. That's not my line. My line is dialogue. And dialogue takes a long time.
Morelli explains that those who don't want to go home can move to another camp. The refugees drift away, still grumbling. Imagine, says Morelli, if it's this hard to repatriate all 2 million people displaced by the Bosnian War. Western governments want a quick repatriation in Bosnia. They're scheduled to pull their troops out in December. But the UN Refugee Agency says that seething ethnic hostilities make a large-scale return impossible right now. Caution is a hallmark of UNHCR repatriation policy. Typically, it protects refugees until they feel it's safe to go home. But today's conflicts often don't end in ironclad peace, so refugees may exploit UNHCR's caution and settle in for a long stay, as 1 million Rwandans have in the Central African country of Zaire. In Kabumba camp in Goma, Zaire, UN workers register refugees for the return trip to Rwanda. This UNHCR repatriation tent is a tranquil oasis in a raucous 2-year-old refugee city. The population is actually increasing here because newborn babies outnumber repatriating refugees. The few who do leave are hungry and dressed in filthy rags, like farmer Thomas Babuzimpamvu. He and his wife left their refugee hut this morning determined to go home. Halfway here, though, she got frightened and went back to camp.
She came back home when those people were laughing at us.
Why were they laughing at you?
Laughing at us because they were telling us, reporting to us that we are going to be killed.
With 200,000 people, you can't stop rumors. Rumor works.
Louis Moussa Fari is UNHCR's field officer at Kibumba Camp. The rumors he refers to are based on some facts and a lot of propaganda spread by leaders of the refugees who are ethnic Hutus. The leaders tell refugees that the ethnic Tutsis who rule Rwanda will torture or imprison them if they return. UNHCR tries to fight back with leaflets and radio broadcasts portraying a much more benign Rwanda. But at night, when relief workers leave, the refugee leaders spread fresh horror stories through camp. They are clearly winning the propaganda war. When the repatriation bus leaves Kibumba, Thomas Babuzimpamvu is on board without his frightened wife. Nearly half the bus seats are empty. Still, Field Officer Moussa Fari says UNHCR has done its duty.
It's not our duty to say, well, you must go home. You must go home. No. We are there. We give them the information we have, the official information, and we offer them the buses, the means of transportation. If they come to us and say they want to go, we'll take them home. If they don't want to go, we'll try to understand why they're not going, but we can't go beyond our mission.
But international donors don't like paying for camps that the Hutu leaders are using to plot an invasion of Rwanda. Some suggest cutting back food rations or health care to speed repatriation. It's even suggested that UNHCR just look the other way and let Zaire's army push the refugees back home.
That's a very, very dangerous precedent, especially for a humanitarian agency to adopt.
Ray Wilkinson is a spokesman for the UN Refugee Agency.
That would totally erode all of the moral force that we have if we even nod that this is acceptable, since, you know, the pillars of UNHCR's work is one, protection of refugees, legal protection more than physical in a sense, and voluntary repatriation, not to be forced to go back.
The ideal of voluntary return might be dying, though, under pressure from donors tired of financing so many long-term refugees. Ian Guest warns that in a world where more people are fleeing complicated conflicts, UNHCR must be more tough-minded in deciding whom it assists.
There isn't a sort of culture of self-appraisal that there should be for an agency that finds itself in the thick of so many difficult and very, very controversial situations. Maybe it's not UNHCR's role to agonize about the wider implications of humanitarian aid, but somebody should do it.
As long as the ethnic wars and regional conflicts of the post-Cold War era continue, UNHCR will face new emergencies and new dilemmas about how to protect those in its care. Many relief officials say the crisis won't ease until fewer people are forced from their homes. In other words, the next exodus of refugees has to be stopped before it happens. I'm Ann Cooper reporting.